Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this first segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Sulo Krishnamurthy, who will be giving us an update on Handicare International's latest happenings. So tell me a little bit about the latest happenings with Handicare.
Yeah, I believe last time before I took off to India, we talked about the project we are getting into, that is the early intervention for children under the age 6 with developmental delays. That includes cerebral palsy, autism, and other slow developments or developmental issues. So we have been working hard with the Government of Canada to procure some funding from them. And initially, they gave us a funding of $100,000 2 years ago. That was a pilot project, and it was extremely successful. The success rate of the children showing significant improvement was really great, and our government is quite impressed with that. So we have applied for the Phase 2 funding, and we have been approved for the Phase 2 funding, which works out to about $600,000 over the next 3 years. So that is based on matching funding from Handicare. So we are also working actively towards raising funds and sponsoring each child or general donations towards this project so it can be matched by our government. So this project is happening, as I had mentioned earlier, in rural India, in a very poor, low-resource environment. So these are children from poor families whose parents cannot afford private therapies or those are not even available in many of those village areas. But our organization is situated in the middle of about 800 villages that need services. And it's fully equipped with every modern facility and modern techniques and equipment that can be used for this purpose. So, as I said, this has been recognized by the Canadian government, and we are going ahead with that. And also the other interesting aspect is this is going to be turned into a research project, one of a kind, whereby children from such a large population will be assessed based on assessment scales provided and approved by the Canadian government and the government of India. So those will be assessed, and the outcome will be published in international journals. So the Canadian students are quite involved with this project, and Canadian volunteers, professional volunteers, are involved in this project. And more interestingly, University of Toronto research scientists are also getting involved in this project, apart from the specialists from within India. So it's a whole team of professionals working in this research project. So it's a two-prong endeavor, whereby on one side, all the therapies will be given to the children, which includes physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, special education, and like parent coaching and equipment and all kinds of things. And on the other hand, all the assessments that are done through this will be evaluated and will procure a research paper for the entire world to follow up with.
So, how are you going about raising awareness about these successes?
About the successes?
Yes. How are you spreading the word?
Well, mostly it's word of mouth. Within India, it's quite easy because all the parents talk about how their children are improving and how Amar Seva Sangam and Handicare International are making significant changes in their lives, impacting their lives. And in Canada, all we are doing is through our websites, through our regular mail contacts, through other forums, we are doing the best we can. And another interesting factor is we have been selected to receive funding from Ontario 150 to run a workshop and an awareness program in 2017. It's going to happen in November, and more information will be available on our website as we get the plans going. So that forum and that workshop, it'll be a whole day workshop that will bring out the highlights of this whole project, create awareness and celebrate Ontario 150 and their support for our organization and the project.
So what are the next immediate steps going forward?
Raising funds. That is our main focus, because all the technical aspects are being taken care of by other professionals who are involved with us and through us. And the focus of this office at Handicare International is to raise funds and distribute the money for the matching grant and to monitor whatever is happening.
Stay on
please note that people can visit our website at www.handicareintl.org. That is handicareintl.org for lots of other information. And our walkathon is coming up on June 11th in Mississauga. Please encourage your audience to come and participate in our walkathon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
I love it when I hear stories of international works being done on behalf of people with disabilities. Truth is, we might have the world's greatest solution right here at home, but if we're not reaching our brothers and sisters across the globe, we really doing all we can for the disability community? For the fact is, we must keep on pressing forward, working with governments, working to create policies and techniques that actually come down to the humanistic level. That it's not just a person with a disability is some statistic on a paper somewhere. You see it as a living, breathing human being. Someone whose life can be made better through these programs. Truth is, it's very hard to turn away when you see a human face connected to these things. It can be easy to sit there and write a check or just arrange a donation. But when you see that this is going to better somebody's life, when you see a person sharing their story, know what it's like for them to be in the shoes of a person with a disability, you gain true wisdom, you gain true understanding, and that is where progress begins. When you put the human face to go with the disability, which is but one factor of a person's life, but you take care of that, and the rest will fall into place, my friends. If they feel respected, valued, and understood as a person first, you can start really getting to know who and what they are, beyond just a set of medical factors. And that is a journey I would suggest to everyone. If you've never gotten to know someone with a disability, or you have questions about what it's like for them, reach out, talk to someone. Chances are, you'll end up just broadening your own horizons, learning something new. If not, you took the chance, at least. You got out there, you decided to reach into their world. Whatever happens from there is on you and them. But it begins with the process of one person taking a chance, reaching out, just saying, I want to know more about what makes you unique as a person. You might talk about their disability, you might not. But you will learn very quickly that this is a person first, and that a condition is merely a secondary factor that happens to come into play. There are those who hesitate about talking about their condition for the fact that they fear people will shy away. Despite these hard economic times, I'm always heartened to hear that governments are making disability services a priority. For the fact is, these are people who have every right to live rich, full lives, be strong, valued, respected. And honestly, for the young ones with disabilities, they're the future leaders. And disability can strike anytime, anywhere. It is not a curse. It's not a punishment for something a person has done. It is simply one factor in this great tapestry we call life. And governments, individuals, they recognize this. They take steps forward toward making the world a better, richer, more diverse place. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Are you a University of Windsor student suffering with concerns like depression, anxiety, other mental health issues, relationship or culture shock? Professional therapists at the CAW Center are here to help. We offer short-term and crisis counseling for any full or part-time University of Windsor students. Our offices are located in 293 at the CAW Center, so walk in to make an appointment. We are open Monday to Friday at 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. So walk in and get help. More information can be found at the UN website.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Sulo Krishnamurthy from Handicare International. So tell me a little bit about the Deafblind Association.
So the Canadian Deafblind Association Ontario chapter, we've been in existence for, we just actually celebrated our 25th year last year. And our organization is supports individuals who are deafblind. And that means that they have a combined loss of vision and hearing. They're not just deaf or they're not just blind, but they have both. And we primarily support individuals who were born this way. And so we have services that run from children who are, preschoolers right up till adults who are into their 50s.
So what sorts of techniques do you use in terms of support?
So we primarily provide what's called intervener support. And in the most basic description, an intervener is really acting as the eyes and the ears of the person who's deafblind. So they're providing them with communication and information to allow them to understand what's happening in their environment and to make informed decisions.
So what are some of the challenges associated with this work?
So the interesting thing about working with people who are deafblind is the way you work with them can be as unique as the person you're working with. So there is no two people, for example, that may have the same amount of vision and hearing loss. So the communication systems can really depend on the individual. Some people, for example, will use, a two-hand manual system. Some people may use ASL. Some people may use a combination of, adapted sign language, concrete cues, pictures. So really the training is very unique to that individual in terms of how you might work with them.
Now, when you say level, a lot of people would assume when you hear the words deaf or blind that it's a complete and total loss of both senses. So,
Cameron, that's a really good point, and you're absolutely correct. Most people make the assumption that if you're deaf, you don't hear anything, and if you're blind, you don't see anything. But most people that we support have some residual vision or some residual hearing. But they may not have enough of that sense to really use it as a primary means of accessing information or communication. So someone could be profoundly deaf, and maybe what they might hear is nothing, or they might be able to hear a very loud sound at one level, but then they might have, be totally blind in one eye and have a little bit of peripheral vision in the other. So it really, again, is the uniqueness of figuring out what that is and where to present either sign language or any visual or auditory information.
Do you do any work in terms of educating the public in regards to these myths about what being deaf and blind means?
Yes, and, public awareness is a big piece of what we do. Deaf blindness is a relatively low incidence disability. So many people, they'll have met someone who's blind or they'll have met someone who's deaf, but they've never met someone who's deaf blind. So awareness is really, really a big agenda for us. And in Ontario and more recently last year across Canada, June is actually Deaf Blind Awareness Month. And so we come together with like-minded agencies who are supporting people who are deafblind. And we have a number of different activities that we engage in to help with that awareness. We have a communications coordinator, and really a large part of their job is to work with the public to help them understand deafblindness, through social media, through planned information campaigns. We do a lot of training as well, not only for our staff as interveners, but also we offer services to other agencies who might be supporting someone who's deafblind, but that's not their core service. So we really try and tackle awareness in a number of different ways.
So in your time with the association, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Well, definitely, I think the declaration of deafblindness awareness for the month of June is definitely a milestone. I have to say that, what we worked cooperatively with our provincial government to look at services for people who are deafblind, and this has been an ongoing process probably for the last 15 years, and they really have a great understanding of the need for intervener services and have been very supportive with funding to certainly support this very important service.
So what are the next immediate steps for the association?
I think that definitely awareness is always going to be, high on our agenda. I think, our vision is that all people who are deafblind will live rich, meaningful lives. And for us, that means looking at lives of meaning. People can choose where they want to live, who they would like to live with, and the level of service that they require. So I think that for us, that's probably one of the most important things that we will focus on. Moving forward, we know that, there's, more and more people becoming deafblind, due to the aging factor as well. So really, in the next few years, we're really going to have to look at how we'll continue to support people with changing needs as well.
So if you could send any one message to the community about the need for deafblind awareness, what would you say?
I think it's important that they understand deafblindness, because I think sometimes it's overlooked. And I think sometimes it gets mixed up into, oh, they're just deaf, or maybe they have a developmental disability. But I think it's really the most important message is being able to identify where there's a need for intervener services.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure, absolutely.
Breaking those myths, breaking those stereotypes, folks, it's got to be the most difficult job known to man. Once a person gets their mind set on something, it can be very difficult to shatter those myths, those illusions. Which is why education at a young age is key in dealing with disability life. If these kids grow up understanding disability is natural, simply part of the equation, they will realize very quickly it's not something to be feared, shied away from, or something to assume that you automatically know everything about. They will instead come to understand it is merely an adaptation of the way things are done. It is part of the makeup which makes us all special and unique. Disability is not something to fear. It is not something to shuffle out of the way because we're not comfortable with it. Every scar, every wound we carry is representative of a mountain we've climbed or a battle we've won. And in disability life, sometimes those scars and those wounds are representative of the battles that we as a society don't think others should be able to win, because we underestimate their strength too easily, all too often. A person given a 1% chance of survival still has that chance, and in some cases, they've even beaten the odds. They've come out of it when we assumed that no human could find the strength to do it. That's what disability life is. It's tapping that strength. It's finding the courage within yourself to live each day with just a little bit of hope. Because if you do enough days in a row, it will be justified. It is accepting that you are the walking wounded. It is understanding that you have endured, that you have become so much stronger than you give yourself credit for. I hate to see it when a person with a disability says they have nothing to contribute. It's just not so. Merely by the act of being, when others didn't think they could or should be able to live with their condition, the fact that they have endured, that they have come through it, sets a very important precedent. Because if one person can, so too can another. It's not always about living our lives to inspire others, mind you. It's about living to live, to experience, and to enjoy, maybe even to add to the substance of the world. But for each person with a disability, that is their own question, their own journey to walk, if you will. They must decide what they want to do, who they want to be, and find a way to get there. The only limitations that really exist are the ones in the human mind. We say to ourselves, I can't conceive of a way this can be done. In which case, seek a more creative mind. Seek someone innovative. Say, this is what I want to do. These are the factors that might be a deterrent. Can you help me find a way? And do not stop until you do. Do not let yourself be ruled by your condition, no matter what it may be. Ask for those equal rights. Ask to be considered as part of the community. For the truth is, every group simply wants the same thing: respect and acknowledgement. It is not a matter of one group having more rights than another. It's about finding the right balance, the right respect for all groups, regardless of sexual orientation, religious background, what country they're from, what they may look like, what they may move like, how they may speak, how they may think. Factors are too many to count, but we can solve it all with one simple step. Keep an open mind. Be willing to learn what these things really mean before we decide to pass judgment. You never know who you might be getting to know by asking a simple question or with a simple hello. Indeed, in the past, certain disabilities, especially mental illness, were those that we just shied away from. Why? Because we weren't comfortable with it. We didn't understand that it is simply, in many cases, the result of one different chemical process in the brain that has one effect. But it doesn't change the fact that this is a living, breathing human being. And that sort of backwards thinking has no place in the modern world. People pride themselves on being this diverse, ever-growing society. Technological advancement can benefit all people, people with disabilities included. But what good is developing the latest app if it's not something that can be enjoyed by all the people? What good is it to cater only to one group in society? What good is it to say, we have all this, but we're not willing to share with our brothers and sisters who could profit immensely, who could have a better quality of life and therefore a better outlook by one simple thing? Who are we to decide who's included and who is not? The truth is, no one has the right to make that call. No one has the right to say, because you look a little different, or you move a little different, or you think a little different, that you're not going to be included. That is the impossible standard, folks. And let me tell you one thing I've learned from experience. Nobody meets the impossible standard. Because, after a certain point, no one would ever be included. So, that being said, we have a simple choice. Include, accept, embrace, work together, grow together, or shy away, live in our myths and our misperceptions about things such as deaf blindness, continue to assume that these people can never have a life, never have any capability. And to do so, we are simply victims of our own arrogance. For a person can acquire a disability at any time, and it may take many different forms, but the key to making progress about that remains having the right support system, having someone around who, if they're not able to help directly, is at least willing to listen, to provide an ear, a sounding board. Sometimes, for a person with a disability, just hearing the words, I want to help you, I want to listen, can make all the difference, because they may tend to isolate themselves. They may tend to shy away, thinking no one will ever care simply because they were made just a little differently. But it's not true. It is not something that holds any weight. Person with a disability is just as lovable and capable as anyone else in society. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.